Hey guys, welcome to The Adapt Effect. This is a podcast designed to give you an approachable take to help you grow in all things health, wellness, and fitness. I'm your host, Amber Dupree, and you are now listening to episode 12. Wow, I can't believe we're already at episode 12. I feel like it was just yesterday where I recorded my first episode and had no idea what I'm doing. And now it's episode 12, and I still don't know what the heck I'm doing. But on today's podcast, we're going to learn the small things you're overlooking during your lifts that can be hindering your progress. Now, these are really, really tiny things that I see happen so often in the gym that people are doing. They might not even be conscious that they're doing it, but it is hindering them in one way or another in the gym. All right, so let's jump right on into it. So there's five things I'm going to touch on, five small things that you're overlooking. Number one is going to be your mixed grip during compound lifts. Number two is going to be your breathing techniques. Number three is going to be not properly engaging your core. Number four is going to be your foot placement. And number five is going to be wearing belts. Yeah, I said it. All right, so let's go ahead and dive right on in, right? So number one, first and foremost, mixed grip during compound lifts. For those of you who don't know what that means, who maybe aren't in the gym yet or don't know what it means, or maybe you're doing it, you don't know what it means, or maybe you are doing it, and you do know what it means. Basically what it is it's your hand over hand. So one hand is pronated, one hand is supinated. So one hand is gripping the bar and the other hand is your thumb up. So that would be supinated grip with the thumb up, and then the other one is with your thumb down. Okay, so this is basically where one hand is over the bar, one hand is under the bar. Okay, so hopefully that gives you guys a good explanation of what that is. And this is bad, guys, because it causes a lot of muscular imbalances if it's done over and over again without alternating your grip. Okay, so yes, I know the mixed grip is much stronger than your double overhand grip. But that's only because it prevents the bar from rolling in your hands and opening your fingers up. However, this type of grip can lead to a lot of really bad muscular imbalances, not only in your shoulders, but your biceps, your traps, your lats, your lower back even. And if you have these muscular imbalances that are going down throughout your lower back, that can then eventually lead to imbalances in your hips, which will then eventually lead to imbalances within your gait, your walk as well. So something as small as a mixed grip can affect your entire body, because as we know, our entire bodies are connected, right? So we definitely need to train as such. So as a fitness professional, shoulders are arguably one of the most injury prone in today's society. I think I spend the most amount of my time fixing shoulders along with the hips. And this grip that I'm talking about, this mixed grip, that's only going to further enhance that imbalance that your body already typically has from its everyday life, right? So when pulling with the mixed grip, you'll always, always, always have a tendency to twist slightly as you rise up. So this is going to externally rotate your shoulder on one side of your body, whichever hand that you chose to go underneath the bar with or supinated grip with, that's going to externally rotate that shoulder. And whichever grip you are pronating, so whichever grip is overhand, that's going to internally rotate that shoulder. So we can see how time after time after time, if one of our shoulders is externally rotated and one of our shoulders is internally rotated, well, hello, that's a huge muscular imbalance. And like I was saying before, shoulders are already probably the number one most common injury in the gym. This is only going to enhance that injury, especially within the rotator cuff, okay? So unless you change your hand placement, I would say at least every other time you do the mixed grip, with opposite hands pronated and supinated, then you're definitely going to be more subjective, to this issue, to this imbalance, right? So how do we get stronger without using the mixed grip? The mixed grip is super popular because, like I was saying, you can pull more weight with it just because the bar won't roll out of your fingers. So how do we reap all the benefits of pulling as much weight as we're used to, but without creating all of these muscular imbalances in our body? I would definitely suggest to embrace the hook grip. A lot of you guys might not know what the hook grip is, so I'm just going to briefly explain that to you. The hook grip, that's involves like basically trapping your thumb between the barbell and your first 2 to 3 fingers. Now, I will say it is pretty painful the first few times you do it. But once you kind of master it, It's way stronger than, you know, the basic double over grip. And I'm even going to argue that it will allow you to pull as much, if not more, weight than the mixed grip. Okay, so again, for those of you who don't know what the hook grip is, it's something that I think that we should all kind of have in our tool belt. It involves when you're trapping your thumb between the barbell and your first 2 to 3 fingers. So basically your thumb is going to be gripping, you're going to grip the barbell fully, and then your thumb is going to go down, and then your hand, like the rest of your fingers, are going to go down. Okay, so that's kind of one way to reap the benefits of the mixed grip without really using the mixed grip, y'all. All right, so number two. Breathing techniques. Oh my goodness gracious, how many times you guys hear trainers and fitness professionals and IG fitness influencers saying, don't forget to breathe, don't forget to breathe, make sure you're breathing. Why is this so important, right? So why is this such a big thing? Well, it's actually a huge thing for several different reasons. So think about it, guys. If you're lifting anything from, I don't know, everyday thing. So take like the couch in your house, right? So if you're lifting the couch in your house, or you're lifting a barbell that's like loaded with a crap ton of weight, your natural instinct is probably going to be to hold your breath. However, this is hindering all of your gains, okay? How is it hindering your gains? Because holding your breath causes you to fatigue quicker. Okay, so if you're holding your breaths during your lifts, you're fatiguing yourself way quicker than you need to. Not only does it fatigue you quickly, it causes things like dizziness. It also increases your blood pressure, which can actually cause you to pass out. Fun fact, if you didn't know that, that's why you see like a lot of these strong men and powerlifters who teach themselves to lift that way. That's why you'll see like these videos going viral of these men passing out. It's because they're holding their breath. That gives them a really, really big spike in their blood pressure, causes dizziness, and that will lead them to passing out, right? So by breathing properly, you'll be able to have a higher degree of control and alertness during all of your exercises, okay? So I promise, I tell my clients this all the time. If you can just get your breathing under control, you can get through pretty much any workout, okay? So not only is it going to give you a greater ability to control your workouts and your lifts and give you that alertness, it's also going to help you avoid injuries. So if you learn how to breathe properly during your workouts, you can get through workouts, like I said, you never thought possible. And this all comes down to not panicking during your sets. I can't tell you how many times I'm training clients and yeah, they're in pain. It sucks. It's uncomfortable, right? Because that's how growth happens. But they end up panicking. Or I see this like gym partners working out. They panic through their sets. They like breathe really heavy or don't breathe heavy or don't breathe at all. And they're like slapping their legs and they're freaking out because they're in so much pain. Stop doing this, guys. Learn to control your breathing. Learn to control yourself during your lifts. Yes, it's going to suck. That's the whole point of working out pretty much, but learn to control your breathing. Okay, so how do you properly control your breathing? Like I was just saying, don't panic through your sets. That's just causing your breathing to be so irregular. You can't think straight. So you don't have that body control. You don't have that alertness. You don't have that, probably not even that mind to muscle connection at that point, right? So you're kind of not reaping all of the benefits that you could be getting from an effective workout, all right? So how do you breathe properly? Well, what I have my clients do before they even touch the barbell, the dumbbells, the weights, anything, is I have them do a lot of deep breathing exercises before they even start their workout session, right? So I have them close their eyes, take a couple of deep breaths, breathe in through their nose, out through their mouths, have them hold it for a few seconds. This is going to, before the exercises, this is going to teach them that kind of controlled breathing. That way, when it does go into their workout, their body's already aware of their breathing, right? So it's going to relax you. It's going to make you more conscious of your breathing. All right. So now, how do you breathe during the lifts? Basically, what you're going to do is you're going to exhale as you're exerting the most energy. Okay. And so what that looks like, guys, is you're going to breathe out as you lift the weight. So begin breathing out right as you pick up the weight. For example, let's take a bench press. Okay. You're going to fully exhale through your nose, or through your mouth, I'm sorry, as you push the barbell away from your chest. Okay. So take a deadlift. Same concept, guys. You're going to exhale as you lift the weight. Okay. So that's going to take the most energy. That's when you want to exhale, when you're exerting the most force. Okay. So then you're going to breathe in through your nose in a controlled manner as you lower the weight. Okay, so lowering the weights, that requires way less exertion. So that's going to be like your best time to inhale. Okay, that's going to be the most ideal time to inhale, I guess you can say. So start lifting light weights until breathing correctly becomes second nature. A lot of times I see people jumping into these massive lifts without really knowing how to properly breathe during their workouts, wondering why they're getting so fatigued so quickly, and this is definitely probably the number one cause, okay? Heavy weights, guys, they demand more concentration, they demand more strength, and that makes it easier to break concentration and forget how to breathe correctly, right? So, if you, the rule of thumb, which when I'm teaching my clients, you know, when we're laying down that foundational work, when I'm teaching my clients, what I tell them the rule of thumb is, if you have to hold your breath to lift the weight, it's too heavy. So this happens when I'm teaching them form, kind of when I'm those first, you know, that first month when I'm really teaching them form, how to breathe, how to walk. Yeah, I said how to walk. I teach my clients how to walk because a lot of us don't fucking walk correctly. But regardless, that's definitely one of those things I'm laying down in their foundation, right? All right, guys. So number three on the list, not properly engaging your core. Now, when I say engage your core, when you hear, once again, all of these fitness influencers say, engage your core, engage your core. What the frick does that mean? We're saying these terms as if, like, the general population understands what that is, and newsflash, they don't, because anytime I tell a new client or a new trainee, hey, engage your core, you know what they do? They suck in their stomach. That is not engaging your core, guys. Don't worry. Don't worry. I'm going to completely explain and break down how to engage your core. So not only am I going to tell you what not to do, I'm going to tell you how to fix it, right? So simply learning how to keep these muscle groups engaged all day can help improve your posture. It can increase your back strength. It can provide additional exercise for your abs, right, guys? So your core is not just your abs. That's definitely something I want to start this little bit off with. It's anything that stabilizes your spine. So that can be your abs, that can be your lower back, that can be your glutes, that can even be a distal muscle group such as your lats, right? So a lot of people fail to recognize that the spine wraps around. So all of these muscles are helping to stabilize it, okay? So most people have trouble understanding what engage your core even means. Like, so when they're doing 100 sit-ups or holding a plank position, most people still are not activating their stomach muscles, okay? I see it all the time in the gym. They could be holding a plank, but their back is arched, so their back is, like, hyperextended, right? So basically what that means is there's an arch in your back when you're in the plank position, or they're doing, like, 100 crunches, 100 sit-ups, and they don't feel it in their stomach. They feel it in their lower back, okay? Well, why is this? It's because, guys, they often think of sucking in as a way to engage their core, and I'm sorry, but this is just not the case, and I really wish more fitness professionals would teach their clients this, okay? So, actually, guys, when you suck your belly in, people think it's deepening their ab engagement, I guess you could say, but it's actually very counterproductive. I didn't know if you, a lot of people don't know this, so I'm just going to say it, put it out there into the world, into the universe, whoever's listening to this podcast, maybe you can learn a thing or two that would be, like, you know, ideal. But sucking in can put unnecessary pressure on your pelvic floor and lower back. Basically, guys, all that means is it's putting pressure on your lower back, okay? It's restricting your ability to breathe more deeply, and so it's definitely not helping you engage your core, and it's actually contributing to poor posture. Okay, so now I'm telling you guys what not to do. So don't suck your core in or don't suck your belly in. Okay, well, how do you engage your core, right? So the simplest way I like to teach my clients is to brace yourself as if, like, you're expecting, like, a punch to the torso or something, right? So even right now, guys, I want you to just think. So say I'm, like, running full force at you and I'm just going to tackle you or I'm going to punch you in the stomach. What are you going to do? You're going to go, oh. You know what I mean? You're kind of give a little, you know? So that feeling is, wow, I sound so stupid. I hope my clients don't, I hope I don't sound like this at all when I'm normally explaining it, but whatever. That little thing, that's you engaging your core, okay? So Your core naturally wants to engage before, like I feel it now, right? So before you laugh or before you cough, you're going to kind of initiate your core muscles to contract and to engage, right? So if you're ever not sure on, like, say you're like following one of these YouTubers or like fitness IG chicks, they're like, engage your core, and you don't know what that means, just think of the feeling you feel when you sneeze. That's engaging your core. So it's not sucking in by any means. It's actually kind of quite the opposite. So my big problem, like, so a lot of times people say, well, why don't you train core? And mainly because I fucking hate it. We all have things we don't like to do in the gym. For most people, it's like stretching, mobility, stuff like that. No, I love that stuff. What I hate is training my core. So what I have found is that there's ways you can benefit by training your core that isn't hindering your progress at the same time, right? So what I mean by that, guys, is crunches, if you think about it, what are you doing? You're pulling on your spine, right? So you're protruding your shoulders forward, you're protruding your neck forward, you're protruding your head forward. Guys, we all already struggle with bad posture due to our jobs, due to driving around, right? So when we train this way, it's only further enhancing that forward head posture, and we definitely need to get away from that, right? So a lot of us have desk jobs. We work 9 to 5, 8 to 5, whatever hours you work, I don't know. And what are we doing all day? We're on the computer. So this is rounding our shoulders forward. This is overstretching our rhomboids. This is putting our neck in a forward position, right? So we have to find a way to get away from this. And I'm sorry, but doing 100 crunches is the worst way to get away from that. It's only further enhancing that issue, right? So the best way to train core, in my opinion, isometrics, anti-rotational core movements. So anti-rotational, I guess I should explain both of those, right? So anti-rotational core movements, those are anything that's stopping the force, okay? So say you are, how do I explain this? Say you have a full barbell in your hand, right? Like a barbell that weighs 35, 45 pounds. And say you're swinging it to one side. Anti-rotational would be bracing your core so your torso doesn't move with your body. Okay, so you're bracing your core not to rotate. That's what anti-rotational means, right? So isometrics, those are anything where you're resisting force in one plane of motion, right? So let's take a resistance band, right? So let's say you have a resistance band and you tie it into like your wall or your door or something, right? You're going to step out, have that resistance band, have some resistance, and you're going to stand straight, hold the handle of the resistance band, push that handle out. That's now an isometric that is working your core. That's also called a Palhoff press, I think is the name of it. Yeah, I don't know if it's Palhoff press or Palhoff press, whatever. Some fitness professional can like correct me and, you know, call me out for that, whatever, do what you want. But, or so another form of an isometric, guys, a plank. Right? So a plank is just something that you're standing still or, you know, mounted still, not moving, and bracing your core. Okay? So anti-rotational exercises, they're resisting that force that attempts your body to rotate, right? So any exercise done with weight held on one side of the body is automatically going to be an anti-rotational core exercise. So guys, what this means, take your everyday training, right, and start implementing core training with it. This is why I can get away with not training my core, because I do a lot of these things. So what do I mean by that, guys? So let's take a single arm overhead press. I don't know, right? So this is going to be an anti-rotational core exercise, because if you're only working one side of your body, you're standing, so you're trying to stabilize yourself, and now you're adding an unstable environment, so you're overhead pressing with one arm. Guys, that's going to encourage your core to really start working, because it's going to be uneven, right? So that's one way to work your core. Anti-rotational exercises are a great form. Isometrics are a great form. And those are the two ways I would definitely start kind of basing your foundation on core exercises, as opposed to doing crunches or something like that that's just pulling on your neck, right? So basically what I wanted you guys to get out of that for the anti-rotational and the isometrics, these things, guys, these are preparing you for real life, right? So you, in real life, do need to brace your core. You do need to resist rotation, right? You do need to hold isometrics at time. You know, maybe I don't know, your mom needs you to hold something, a painting up while she, you know, nails it to the wall or something like that. That's an isometric, essentially. Okay, so all these things in real life you are doing, you are resisting rotation in your everyday life. So those are functional ways to train your core. Guys, when do you ever pull on your neck from the floor? That's what a crunch is. When do you ever use that in your daily life? When are you ever just going to be on the floor fucking pulling on your neck? Unless you're like, I don't know, doing like some crazy sex thing or something like that. That's the only time I can think of you needing to do that, right? So stop training these ways. They're not helping you for anything in your daily activities, right? So we work out because we want to feel better. We want to enhance our daily activities. We want to enhance our daily lives. Guys, we definitely need to start training as such then, right? We train as though our body isn't connected. So a lot of times you'll see people doing like a bicep curl and they're not even paying attention to the rest of their body. So they're not keeping their shoulder back. They're not bracing their core. They're like looking all over the place. Their breathing's out of control. We have to train as though our body is connected. So even take a bicep curl, right? What's the proper way? Well, excuse me, I just kind of burped. But let's take a bicep curl, right? There's several things going on that you need to be paying attention to that a lot of people don't. First and foremost, what we have already covered, guys, is your breathing, right? What did we already just cover next? Your core engagement. So right off the bat, we have two things that are going on during a bicep curl that a lot of people aren't even paying attention to. So your foot placement definitely matters. You know, the momentum that travels from the ground up, that's going to help you have a stronger bicep curl even. So your shoulder placement, where's your shoulder during a bicep curl, right? Is it forward and in a funky position, in an unsafe position, or is it set back? Are you retracting your scapula? Are you, you know, basically what that means, guys, is keeping your shoulders back and down. You know what I mean? So there's a lot going in just a simple thing as a bicep curl. So a lot of us, I see it in the gym all the time, we're training as though our bodies aren't connected and it's not optimal for us. It's not really enhancing our physical abilities if we're training that way. Okay? So let's start training as if our bodies are connected, guys, because ding, 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 guess what? They are. Okay? So, number four. I really need somebody to do these podcasts with me. But number four, foot placement, okay? So, improper foot placement leads to several things. But let's, before we even jump into that, let's first take a look at what I guess the wrong stance would really be deemed or considered, okay? So, think about it, guys. Say you're about to do a squat, right? Since most of you guys know what a squat is, right? Or even let's just say if you don't know what a squat is for lack of whatever, let's just say you're about to sit into a chair, right? So if your left foot, just picture this for me, okay? If your left foot is slightly behind your right foot, so if your feet are not lined up, that alone is going to cause a shift in your hips, okay? So imagine the problems that can lead to once you're adding tension on your spine. So once you're loading the barbell and putting it on your back, imagine the alignment issues you're going to have with your hips, right? So there's a lot of issues that go into it when you have poor foot placement. And poor foot placement doesn't just have to be your feet being uneven. This, I also want to take some time for you guys to understand, how should your foot be? Like, where should the pressure in your foot be, really, guys? So, the way I teach my clients, guys, is think of your foot as a tripod. So, what that means is your toes, they are your stabilizers. So, a lot of times you'll hear, like, fitness professionals say, drive through your heels through, like, a squat or something. Yes, don't get me wrong. That is 100% correct. However, people take that to extreme measures, and they forget that their toes are their stabilizers. So that's why they're losing balance, right? So even in a squat, if you have, you know, a couple hundred pounds on a barbell, and you're not keeping your toes down as well, but you're solely relying on pushing and driving through your heels, that's why people lose their balance. And you see these people fall forward or fall backwards during a squat. So your toes are your stabilizers. So the way your foot should be placed on the floor is, obviously your heel, you want to dig that into the ground. Your pinky toe, your middle toe, and your big toe, you kind of want to grip the floor. That's why a lot of people like prefer to train legs with no shoes. It's because it allows them to have better balance. They can also build their foot muscles, if believe me or not. And it's going to allow their foot to act as a tripod, so it increases their balance and their stability, okay? So a lot of things go wrong when we kind of don't have good foot placement. Like I already mentioned, guys, it's going to cause your hips to be misaligned. It decreases your stability. So this is another thing that we can take a couple minutes to touch on, I guess. So think about it this way. We'll use this example again. Say I'm running at you and I'm about to freaking tackle you. How much stability do you think you're going to have in like a split stance or in a stance where your feet are very close together as opposed to your feet being hip width apart? Like just think about it. So if you're in a split stance, like you'll see a lot of people training this way, or in a stance to where your feet are very navel or very narrow. What did I just say? Navel? What the heck? But very narrow. If I'm running at you and you're in either of those positions, you're going down. Like, you could be a 500-pound man and I'm still going to tackle your ass. Now, let's say your feet are hip-width apart, as they should be. Okay? Depending on your hip mobility, it could be a little bit further if you need. So if your hips are pretty tight, then sure, go, you know, wherever's most comfortable for you. But you're going to feel a lot more stable in that position, and me knocking you over is going to be way harder if possible at all. Okay, so that's why foot positioning is so important. Okay, it increases your stability. Now, if you have poor foot placement, not only does it decrease your stability, it decreases your strength because you can't generate that much force from the ground up, and you're teaching yourself bad habits. Okay, so this is all creating imbalances within your body. So this is why a solid base foundation is always going to be superior to the split stance. It's going to give you more stability and less imbalances. Okay, so number six, I believe this is the last point that I have for this little episode, y'all. So hang in tight. We're almost there, okay? This one's really good, though. This touches on wearing belts. Now, in the gym, probably see 60%. What do y'all think? 60% of, like, men, men, ego lifters, wearing belts. Why are they wearing belts? Should they be wearing belts? When is it acceptable to be wearing a lifting belt? Okay, so let's kind of dive into that. Not only are we going to dive into that, I also want to talk about, like, why you shouldn't, because this entire thing is what not to do, so I'm just going to, let me not leave that teaser. Basically, guys, you shouldn't be wearing a belt. When you use them in your training program, they tend to weaken your core muscles, okay? So this is my biggest problem with belts. So think of a belt kind of as a crutch. If you use it too much, the muscles are going to respond less and less and less because the belt is there. So the belt is acting as your core to a degree, right? So the typical person, new clients, new people in the gym, people who have been working out, you know, for a while even, the typical person has a weak core. So if we're using this belt, it's only going to further enhance that issue, right? Now, don't get me wrong, guys. Strength athletes, they can use a belt, sure. But only for sets that are like 85% above or more than their one rep max. And they certainly shouldn't be using a belt with all their lifts. Now, if you guys don't understand what I'm talking about, if you don't understand the lingo, then that's a sure way to know you shouldn't be wearing a fucking belt. Okay, so let me just leave that at that. So it's very, very, very unnecessary to use a belt if you're sitting, if you're laying down, or really, guys, if you're doing anything that doesn't put pressure on your lower back, such as, like, so if you see somebody doing a leg press and they're wearing a belt, slap that person in the gym. If you see somebody doing a tricep push down and they're wearing a belt, slap that person. Like, just tell them, be like, hey, I heard a girl on a podcast told me to come up to you and slap you for doing this because you look like a jackass. An athlete doesn't really get anything out of training with a belt. So basically, guys, how I want you guys to kind of take away from this is, if your sport doesn't require you to wear a belt, why are you lifting with one? Like, really think about it. If the sport you're involved in, right? So say you're an athlete. If your sport does not require you to wear a belt, you should not be wearing a belt. Now, let's talk strongmen and powerlifters. Their sport, because that's a sport, requires them to wear a belt. So therefore, it's acceptable for them to train wearing a belt. However, there's a fine line between using it for when necessary and overusing it and just looking like a jackass, right? So like I said earlier, if you're a strongman, you're a powerlifter, if that's something you want to get into, My recommendation is to use it when you're at 85% or higher of your one rep max. If not, you're just hindering your progress and your true brute strength, okay? So, no bueno for my little TED talk, okay? When you're training, guys, what I really want you to understand is your goal should be to build a balanced body, and your balanced body should be working as a functional unit, okay? So for strength athletes, you're judged on your ability to move weight, and that's definitely a different story, okay? So yeah, sure, wear your belt, more kudos to you, lift that heavy ass weight that I could never do, like that's amazing to me, you know what I mean? So for them, it's a different story. Lifting belts can help performance on big lifts involving the lower back, so that would be like your deadlifts, guys, or your squat lifts, or your squats, right? But the average person in the gym does not need to be wasting their money on this equipment. It's not necessary. I honestly think the average person in the gym should be striving for functional fitness that they can, you know, lift and be working out for a lifetime. So how often do you guys see, you know, powerlifters or strongmen or even some bodybuilders, if I'm being quite honest, which that's what I consider myself, or I guess used to consider myself. But how often do you see these people who are so immobile and they can't, you know, there's a lot of documentaries, whatever that word is, of strongmen and powerlifters who can't lift even if they wanted to once they get a little bit older in age. And it's because they've put their bodies through the freaking ringer, so it's not physically possible. They've encountered so many injuries and their body's in so much pain that they can't lift. The average person doesn't need to be training this way, right? So that's why you don't need to be investing your hard-earned money in a belt, right? So guys, I really hope that those little tips and tricks helped you out and kind of cleared up some of the hype that you might see a lot of these people in the gym doing. But yeah, so that pretty much sums up the show. I want to give a huge thank you to all of you that took the time out of your day to learn, grow, and adapt with me. For more of me, go ahead and follow my personal IG at amber.dupree, D-U-P-R-E-E, where I post daily workouts, health and fitness tips, and just express myself. Guys, if you like what I have to say, please don't be shy and subscribe. That way you can get a little notification whenever I post. And leave me a rate and review. If you love me, give me 5 stars. If you hate me, leave me 1 star and tell me why. But yeah, guys, I hope you all have a really, really, really great day, great night, whatever time you're listening to this podcast, and follow me on IG. All right, love you guys.